We're glad to be out again from Partick, Free Church of Scotland continuing. We meet and worship at 2 Thornwood Terrace. It's just off Dumbarton Road there, up from the police station, and just beside Thornwood Primary School. And we would give you all a warm welcome to our worship services, which are held on the Lord's Day, the day when Christ rose victorious over the grave, Sunday at 11 a.m., and again at 6:30 p.m. And we also have a prayer meeting on Wednesday at 7:30. And again, we would extend a warm welcome to you all, that you might come along and join with us and hear more about the Lord Jesus Christ. We began earlier today by looking at the healing of blind Bartimaeus as Jesus was going out of Jericho. He met blind Bartimaeus and another blind beggar, and he healed both of them, gave them their sight. We want to notice another thing that happened at Jericho. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and he was on his way ultimately to be crucified. And before that, he went through Jericho. And we're told in Luke chapter 19, verse 1, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Here's a wonderful human interest story. It's about a little man. He was a little rich man. He was called Zacchaeus. He had an occupation that people hated. What was that occupation? He was a tax collector. It's called here a publican, but that's what he was. He was a tax collector. And he would collect tax from his own people, the Jews, and then he would give the money to the Romans. And he would be allotted a certain amount of tax to collect in a month or in a year. And once he collected that amount, if he managed to collect more than that amount, he could pocket the difference. And that's what he did. And we are told he was a chief publican. He was in charge of other tax collectors. And he was a rich man. He had, if you like, everything that this world could give him. Money. Luxury. All these things were his. He didn't want for anything. Plenty of money. But he heard about the Lord Jesus, and he wanted to see him. He was a small person, and there was a large crowd. And ordinarily, he would not be able to cast his eye upon Christ. So he thought to himself, I will go up in a tree, and he will watch as Jesus passed by. And as he was up on the tree, what happened? Jesus stopped and spoke to him and said, "Zacchaeus, come down. Make haste and come down, for today I must come to your home." Zacchaeus would have got the fright of his life. Here Jesus knew his name, and Jesus called him to come down, to make haste, and to prepare himself to receive and welcome the Son of God, even Jesus Christ himself. There is wonderful counsel there for us before we even look at any more of this wonderful incident. There is wonderful counsel there for every single one of us. We are to make haste and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to make haste and seek him while he may be found. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 and 7 tell us, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Zacchaeus, make haste. The people of Partick, make haste. Come and seek the Lord Jesus Christ. Come and call upon this one who is able to forgive our sins, who is able to give us new life, who is able to bring us to glory. We must call upon this one. And what's more, we must turn away from our wicked ways. This is what happened to Zacchaeus. This is what he said, in effect, when he was with the Lord Jesus. "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." Here was Zacchaeus practicing repentance, willing to hand back things that he might have taken unlawfully. This is what's required of us. "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." There, friends, is a gospel promise. There is the word of God. There is the word of Christ. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. When you look at Zacchaeus, he is indeed a remarkable character. We don't think there's anything wrong with being a tax collector today. It is an honorable occupation to be a tax collector. We might not like paying taxes, but there's nothing wrong in being a tax collector. But in biblical times, to be a tax collector, you were regarded like a pedophile would be regarded today. You would be a social outcast. You could not go to the synagogue or the temple. You would be debarred from any normal social activity. Your only friends would be other publicans, other tax collectors. That's all. No one else would have anything to do with you because you took money from the Jews and you handed it to those who were oppressing them and ruling over them. It was a horrible job in the eyes of many people. And therefore, tax collectors, as they were called, publicans, were hated, absolutely hated. And they were regarded as the sinners of sinners, the chief of sinners, despicable individuals. But here, the Lord Jesus Christ calls him, takes him down from the tree, and goes and has hospitality in his house. Does this not tell us something about the Lord Jesus? Does this not tell us again about the willingness of Christ to receive sinners? We might think to ourselves that Christ and his benefits is only for those who are religious, or only for those who are righteous or only for those who are do-gooders, we might think to ourselves. That's not the case. That is not the case, as Jesus Himself did say. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Zacchaeus, with all his money, with all that he had, all his wealth, he was lost. He was lost in sin. But Jesus came to seek and to save such as were lost. And whether we like it or not, or realize it, friends, this is our position this afternoon. In this bright and sunny afternoon here in Partick, every one of us, as far as the Bible is concerned, is lost by nature. We're lost in sin. We might not be tax collectors, but we are still sinners in the sight of God. The Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. None righteous, no, not one. We've all, like sheep, we've all gone astray. And that's why we need a Savior. And that Savior is Christ. And that Savior is willing to save. He's far more willing to save than we are willing to come to Him. That's why He sends out people like myself to go out into the highways and the byways and to bring before the people, young and old, male or female, it doesn't matter, to tell them that in the sight of God we're sinners and we're perishing. We're without God. We are without hope in this world. But there is hope if we will turn, if we will forsake our sins and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. And how can you possibly call upon Him if you don't hear of Him? And how will you call upon Him if you don't know about Him? And that's why you need a preacher to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ, to tell you about this person, and to tell you about the work that He has done. Who is this person? Who is this person who turned the world upside down? Who is this one who divided time? Who is this one who never founded a school? Yet there are multitudes of schools named after Him. Who is this one who never formed or built a hospital? Yet hospitals have been built named after Him. Who is this one who never wrote a book, yet all the libraries in the world cannot contain the books that have been written about Him? Who is this one who has had such an impact upon human life and human society? Who is this one who was born in poverty and crucified at the age of 33 in between two thieves? Who is this one? This one is none other than the eternally begotten Son of God. The Christian theology teaches us that God is three in one. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It truly is a mystery. We cannot comprehend this, but that should not surprise us. If we think that we'll ever comprehend God, then we will become like God. There are mysteries, my friends. That's why the Bible says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified by the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. That's where Jesus Christ is today. He is in glory. But in order to save, He had to leave the place of glory behind. He had to come to this world. He had to become like us. The eternally begotten Son of God had to take our form, had to take our nature and become like us, sin only accepted. Why did He become a man? He became a man in order to suffer. The Son of God could never suffer in himself, in his essence, in his Godhood. It would be impossible for him. He cannot suffer in his Godhood. Impossible. But in order to save people, he had to become like us. He had to become a man in order that he could suffer. And not only suffer, but in order that he might die. And why had he got to die? Suffering wasn't enough. Why had he got to die? He had to die, friends, because God's law tells us that if we have broken God's law, we deserve the penalty of breaking God's law. What is it? To die. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And that's why Christ had to die, because he was our substitute. And he was working out a salvation for us, for his people. And that's why we come out this afternoon to tell you about the Son of God, who became the Son of Man, and who ultimately went to Gethsemane, where he sweated great drops of blood as it became clear to him what was required of him in order to save his people. And then he went to Calvary. He bore his own cross and took him to Calvary there. And they laid the cross on the ground. And then they tied Christ to the cross and put nails through his hands and feet. Why did they do that? They did that because he was offering up himself as a once-for-all perfect sacrifice to satisfy the just and inflexible demands of God's law. And friends, this is good news for mankind today. This is good news for the people of Partick today. This is good news for all who will hear this, that there is a Savior. There's a Savior who can save us from all sin and every sin. I don't know your life. I don't know the things that you have done and the things that you've said and the things that you've thought. But I know my own life. And I know it's far, far from perfect. But friends, Jesus Christ has forgiven all my sins. All of them, without exception, they've all been forgiven. And that's what's available in the gospel. That's what Jesus Christ provides. This is what's offered. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. As you pass by, or maybe as you're sitting down, or maybe as you're in your home and your flat, you have a burden. Yes, you have a burden. You cannot address it. You're not sure what it is. But I can tell you what the burden is, friends. The burden is you have a troubled conscience. And why is your conscience troubled? Your conscience is troubled because you know you're not right with God. All your religion and all your good works cannot cleanse your conscience. You need something more. What do you need? You need what Jesus provides. You need the gift of eternal life. You need your sins forgiven. You need your conscience to be cleansed. You need a peaceful conscience. And only Jesus can provide that. That's why he said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. No man will get to heaven. No man will get to glory. No man will have their sins forgiven. No man will be reconciled to God unless they come through the Lord Jesus Christ. This is his unique office. He is the Savior. What does he say in the Old Testament? Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. Look unto me. Who's he talking about? He's talking about himself. He's talking about the Savior. Look unto the Lord Jesus Christ, now that he has come, now that in the New Testament he has come, he has been revealed, and his work has been laid out for us. It's all crystal clear now. Look unto me, and be ye saved. Oh, friends, would you not like to know that you're saved? Would you not like to know that everything's right between you and God? Would you not like to know that? That's what it means to be saved, to have the slate wiped clean. Would you not like to have that and know that experience? Jesus then says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. He's talking about everyone. He's talking about young. He's talking about old. He's talking about rich. He's talking about poor. He's talking about male or female. He's talking about those who have dark skin or those who have light skin. He's talking about all the peoples all over the world, because ultimately we've all come from one set of parents. We've all come from Adam and Eve, and we've all been made in the image of God, and we're all accountable unto God. And that's why he says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Christianity, friends, tells us there's only one God and there's only one Savior and there's only one way to God, and that's through that Savior. It's remarkable that there is a way at all. It's remarkable that God has not completely and utterly destroyed us. But no, God in his infinite wisdom has worked out a way whereby his divine attributes might be satisfied and sinners might be saved. This is what Christianity brings to your attention. It brings to you an exclusive Savior. For there is none other name under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. That was the message that the early church, the apostles, took and turned the world upside down as a result. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And what is that name? That name is sweet. That name is precious. That name is the Lord Jesus Christ. As the angel said to Joseph, to Christ's stepfather, his legal father, thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? Because he shall save his people from their sins. You know, Jesus didn't come as a conqueror, as a judge, as a destroyer, as a soldier, or whatever. He came as a Savior. Thank you. He came as a Savior. Does that not tell us something? Does that not encourage us to call upon him while we may be found, while he may be found? Let us not despise the Lord Jesus Christ. Here he is today in the gospel. He's calling upon you. There's even an exhortation for the young. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And there's a warning and an exhortation there. There's a warning because many young people, they look at Christianity and they think, well, maybe when I'm older, maybe when I get married, and maybe when I get children, maybe then I'll consider it. but I want to live my life. But the trouble is, friends, that what happens when you get married and when you have children, you put it off and you put it off and you put it off and you never deal with the great matter of your soul. And before you know you are, you're an old person. Friends. Yes.
I'm beaten.
Yeah, that's okay.
Is that a what?
Remember now thy Creator
what?
In the days of thy youth.
Wait, what did she just say?
She said, I'm reading. That's what she said. She was reading what is here.
Oh.
No crime, no harm. She's welcome to read. There's a great exhortation here to the young. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Young people.
Oh my God.
Young people.
Oh my God, Zara. Oh my God, I'm so sorry about her. What?
Well, you get that. We live in a culture where it's the cancel culture. If you don't like it, what do? You shut the preacher up. That's what it is. People cannot debate. People cannot argue. They simply want to shut dialogue up. They don't like to hear the truth. It's cancer. It's culture. It's cancel culture that we're in today. But nevertheless, God's word goes forth. We're glad to be out here. We're going to draw our time to a close. It's been good to be with you. I'm sure you want me to carry on, but I need to stop. I have some good news. It's concerning Christ and what He has done. But there's limits to what I can do. I'm only a man, only a mouthpiece. But God's word shall not return unto him void. In some sense, you've heard the gospel. In some sense, Christ and his claims have been brought before you. Friends, it's a solemn thing to hear the word of God, because you're now doubly accountable. And one day, you'll stand before him. You may laugh at the Lord Jesus. You may despise him, you may reject him, but one day you will stand before him. One day you'll see him with your own eyes. One day you'll give account. And this day will be part of that account when in some small manner and measure you have been brought forth to hear the claims of the eternally begotten Son of God. Amen, and may God bless His word to you this afternoon.